Namaste. So yesterday we had a little reflection on loss events, and in that we also touched upon the loss of relationships. And so quite naturally, because these are brief reflections, not a whole lecture or seminar, so obviously it had to have a part two. And the part two is more to focus on relationships, because people often, this is a very difficult thing for human beings. Why for human beings? Because ego has crystallized. So as a result of crystallization of the ego, there is a big challenge in relationships. Relationships means love, bonding, attachment, affection, which means I have to step out of my comfort zone of the ego. As at one place Aurobindo says, family is the first unit where Lord Vishnu teaches us how to come out of the ego self. But for most people, it remains the last unit. It's very unfortunate, because beyond the family is the national life, the second step of Vishnu. And the third stride is whole of humanity. So first of all, when we talk about relationship, we should not only think about man and a woman and a boy and a girl and limited to a small little. If one thinks like that, then really one has not understood the whole problem. The problem of relationship is fundamentally the same problem which Sri Aurobindo speaks about. All problems of existence are essentially problems of harmony. And the more crystallized the ego, the more challenging and difficult the harmony becomes. One is rock-like, and therefore one cannot harmonize, whereas there are people who can harmonize with everybody. But if we go back to the roots, when we understand there is a very beautiful system in Indian thought, which time to time we'll refer to, that there are three modes in which nature functions. And we can have a relationship within these three modes, or we can have a relationship in another mode of existence. So let's see what are these three modes. We know tamas, rajas and sattva. Rajas itself, we can say, has two levels. One is rajas gravitating towards tamas, what is called as an asuric humanity. And other is rajas ascending towards sattva, which is a more devic humanity, which is there in chapter 16 of the Gita, the Devasuri Sampada. So there are relations which are based purely on tamas. Means, just because somebody is together, physically together, it's, for example, family relation, because one has grown up, one has got a physical bonding, so it remains. And sometimes in different relations also, some people who live in a community, they can become attached simply because they are growing up in a community together, like mohalla mentality. This is the word, one of the words I use. So they are like, you know, everybody in the mohalla is very important. It's not done from a very high or profound perspective, but from a very narrow perspective, it's all right. But it's about that people with whom my everyday physical life is associated, I feel they are close to me. This is a tamasic kind of relation. The interesting part is this relation can continue ad infinitum, ad nauseam, because tamas is a capacity to endure. Purely physical based relationship just continues. Continues and continues and continues, because there is no change in it, there is no evolution in it, there is no progress in it, but it continues like that. Many relationships, if we see now, specifically husband-wife relationship, they would quarrel in olden times, but they would continue. They would use very nice terms, God has made and this and that, social, religious, but essentially it continues simply because it had to continue, to the detriment sometimes of both of them, because neither was progressing individually or collectively. Then there is a rajasic relationship. Rajasic relationship is give and take. So its lower mode is, I want, I want, I want. And when I get, maybe I'll give a little bit. So, you know, relationships which are purely selfishness based, where one is all the time thinking of what I got and what I didn't get. One is never really thinking of what I have given and what I received. Really received. One is constantly focusing on what one has not received. So this is a lower rajasic mode, where one is loving not for the person, but loving for the sake of the ego. The day the giving stops, that day relationship goes sour. And because it's on the lower vital ranges, there is in it a lot of suspicion, jealousy, possessiveness, fears, insecurity, because you are depending upon something to just get. There is a hunger, that's all. There is no other kind of movement. Naturally, this relationship doesn't last long in most people, unless on the other side there is somebody like, you know, Ruru who would love even beyond death. Shobhindu, when he speaks about the height of human love, he speaks about Rama and Sita, he speaks about Radha and Krishna, but he speaks about Ruru and Savitri. He doesn't say Savitri and Satyavana, Ruru and Pramadwara, because one is a giving person, the other is just receiving. So there is a kind of, this relationship can only last if there is one person who is constantly giving and the other person is receiving. But this person who is constantly giving, then in that case has to be universal, otherwise it's not possible. So most of the time, since there is such an impossible condition, this relationship, which can be called in modern language as dependency from one side, doesn't really go very far. Because how long will a person give? Beyond a point, it begins to break down. Ordinarily, again, it's not about a divine human being. Mother and Shobhindu just gave and gave and gave. Hardly anything they received from anyone. Whatever people may say that they gave was nothing. Peanuts compared to what they were really pouring. And that too was given by the mother. Something of that we were returning back to the divine and thinking that we are givers. So this is the lower mode. Then in Rajas, there is a higher mode where there is, I give, but I have expectation, I want something in return. So this relationship can last, can be intensely engaging, there is a give and take, it reaches a kind of balance, unless suddenly, for whatever reason, one person stops giving. Then after a while, there is irritation, frustration, dwindling of things, etc., etc. But otherwise, there is a mutual care, mutual affection. This is a relationship where there is a deep within a psychic touch, not on the deeper sense, but because the emotional center is right in front of the psychic, it can give a feel as if it is based on the psychic. It's not truly a psychic relation. But the emotions are right in front of that center, and there is a deep emotional engagement, not just a passion engagement, not just a giving of vital energies, but it's something where one is engaged at an emotional level. There is care, there is mutual respect, giving to each other, etc., etc. But in this relationship also, there can be sometimes intense ruptures. But when there is a rupture, this rupture doesn't last, because very soon it is a kind of symbiotic relationship. If the previous one was parasitic, this one is symbiotic. Both are giving and taking. Now, in such cases, people, if they separate, they start longing for union. But when they are together, they long to separate. So since most relationships were based on this, the advice, the age-old advice that time to time, let there be spaces in togetherness, or, you know, somebody, the advice to the woman was, you should go home for some time. When you come back, the man will have greater value for you, or the man goes away and when he comes back. So it's basically a symbiotic relationship. It's not a very high relationship, but still it's in the realm of the vital, rajas-based, but it's still rajas tending towards sattva. So there is something in it which can evolve further. Then there are relationships which are based on sattva. This is where mostly parent-child relationship. Sometimes child-parent relationship, which is about doing one's duty. Now this duty, when it enters into a relationship, even if there can be a sharing of thoughts, common interest, common ideas. Now this relationship may not engage at other levels. There may not be emotional passion and other areas which are involved, but this relationship is at the level of mind. And where it is largely confined to the mind, it is what is normally known as Platonic relationship, because the intense passions and vital interchange doesn't come in, but both people are together in a common ideal or have a common idea. They share their thoughts. At the same time, they fulfill duty towards each other, because such is this duty. May be a social duty or a religious duty depending on the time, or even maybe a legal duty. But people who are evolved, they don't live because it's a legal duty. They do it because they feel it's ethical and moral to do it. So the relationship is at that level. Now all these three relationships come under the realm of nature, which is ignorant nature, and hence they have a certain kind of vulnerability about them. At any time, things can fall back or evolve, though sattva is a more stable type. It's another stability than tamas gives. Tamas is prolonging just because the two people are together. Sattva can last simply because of the sense of duty. Even if one person has, that is good enough. But now the secret is that as long as human beings, why do relationships go sour? It's because we stop evolving and progressing. So the secret is to learn to evolve and upgrade. Very often people say that, you know, somebody turned elsewhere, etc. Now this turning elsewhere happens when a relationship stops evolving. Now, especially in vital level, when a relationship is caught there, vital by its nature seeks novelty. Now it cannot find novelty unless it is growing. That's why the mother says, when you want to change outer circumstances, it means you are inwardly not progressing. At least at that level, whatever be the level. But if you progress, then you don't need to change the circumstances. So relationships, like everything else, have to evolve. This is the first principle we have to understand. It may start at a physical, vital, emotional level, but it has to go further to the mental and intellectual and even deeper psychic and spiritual levels. So if it becomes static and stops evolving after a while, especially if in human beings there is a strong urge to progress, there are people in whom the urge of progress is not very marked, and there it can just stay as a platonic level. But if one of them carries, develops a fire of progress and the other does not, the relationship can tend to become ruptured. Or else what can also happen is that if both of them are evolving, they may follow different lines of evolution. After all, let's say when a person relates with somebody at a young age, later on they may evolve in very different directions. And why not? After all, each one's evolution is unique. And the more one evolves, the more space you have to provide. So if relationship has to last in an evolving couple, it can only be on the basis of space and freedom. Because both are evolving, and they are evolving along same lines, along very different lines. Even when they are following the same path, the rate of evolution may be very different. So you have to allow that pace and that freedom to evolve in countless ways. So this is the first thing, that relationships evolve. Second is, there's nothing like a ready-made relationship. People, especially I see youngsters, they fall in love or they get married, they live in. All that is fine. They are very unhappy after a while. They are unhappy because they have this ideal. Everybody has an ideal, and one must have an ideal. Oh, this is Mr. Perfect or this is Miss Perfect. Mr. and Miss Perfect is an image in the mind. Now, this image is very good. I am not saying one should practically say ki nahi hota hai. No, but this perfect image has to be translated in outer life. So, relationships have to be worked upon. And the way to translate the image into reality, the dream into fact, is by the law of sacrifice. I have an image about what the other person should be, and the person is not. So, now one is unhappy. But once mother was asked that, what if we have faith in somebody and the person deceives us? Mother says, your faith is not strong enough. She doesn't say that the other person is wrong. Why? It means now I have to upgrade my faith. For instance, when people often say that, oh, I loved somebody so much and yet the person deceived me. No, your love is not strong enough. I must upgrade my love to a point where I touch the very principle of love, the very principle of faith, where regardless of whatever is outside, human beings can continue to trust the person or continue to love the person. Now, it is difficult. What is easy in life? Easy is only quarrels and ruptures and disharmony. Then we should not expect that life will be up forever like this. But if we understand these two things, sacrifice, now sacrifice, the deeper senses, I keep purifying my energies. I loved in a certain way, I must keep upgrading it, keep upgrading it. Then the ideal that I have within me, I can begin to turn it into, actualize it in my life. Now the beauty is, the more I actualize in more my life, the more it has an effect on the other person. This is what we have to understand, that we are trying to change the other person, but we have to change ourselves. And the more we change ourselves, the other person begins to change, because now the energies which are inside begin to flow outwardly and they start putting a pressure. And if the person doesn't change, for whatever reason resists, then this relationship will go into a different direction completely, because there is no change that is taking place. Possibly because they have to observe very different lines of evolution, because the time is not ready, because the person is not ready, etc., etc. It may happen. Something like in Buddha's life, that he walks far away, and you know, while the kingdom is there, the wife is there, the child is there. So this is the other aspect of relationship. One has to understand that there is uncertainty in life, and we must learn to embrace it. People think that everything is picture perfect. No, perfection is a constantly evolving state. Perfection is not a static state that now I have found perfection. No, it will evolve. There is no limit to evolution. And the more it evolves, the more people who are connected have to keep on growing. If it doesn't happen, now, as I said, one unit is progressing very fast, then it's possible that it may get ruptured from the rest and the other stays at whatever level, or, you know, it's panting. It's like you are climbing Mount Everest. Everybody cannot climb Mount Everest. Or one has to wait. These are the only two ways. But sometimes it may not happen. So there is this process of evolution. Relationships must evolve. They evolve through sacrifice, where each one has to do their bit of sacrifice. If one person does, he will evolve or she will evolve, and the other person will not evolve. Now this will create a kind of rupture. If one unit is evolving, the other is not evolving. This is the second part. And third, perfection is not a static thing. So it's not like now it is perfect and wonderful. No, this is an illusion. One has to understand that perfection itself must grow. Now, beyond the modes of nature, the secret of relationship is not found here. Even a most sattvic relationship can crash. The secret of relationship is found either in the depths of the being, which is called as the psychic being, or in the heights of the spirit. What is meant by psychic relation is, one, like the psychic loves always what is true, good and beautiful. It is the nature of psychic not to see the faults, criticisms, and this is the error, that person, this complaining, grumbling, grudging is all purely vital. The psychic doesn't feel jealous, it doesn't feel possessive. It always plucks that little thing of beauty. And because it plucks that little bit of beauty inside somebody, it helps the other person to develop. The psychic doesn't demand anything. Psychic by its nature learns to give itself. It doesn't claim as a right. It is not about law, society or religion. It's beyond that all. It is the divine representative in man. And truly to love unconditionally, one has to love from the psychic. And how can one love from the psychic if one has not even found it? So unconditional love, true love are wonderful words, and they must continue because they are there as our ideals. But it cannot actualize as long as we have not found that space of truth inside. That space of truth is psychic. Now this does not mean that both must follow the same path. No. Psychic has not, paths are all mentalized things. Psychic has a way or mode of seeking the eternal. It doesn't matter in which religion or beyond religion or spiritual cult, sect, it is beyond all that. It takes that form outwardly. For instance, the psychic of a human being may have been born just to serve the divine. Now it doesn't matter, it may be in he may belong to Sikh religion, Hindu religion, Muslim religion, or maybe not in any of these religions, maybe in this cult, that cult, none in none of the cults. But it seeks the joy of progress in serving the divine in man. Initially, maybe serving humanity, because that's how the psychic starts. For another person, even the person belonging to the same religion may have an approach which is devotional or of a Jnana Yoga. Now, both are maybe belonging to the same sect, same cult, same path outwardly. Yet the approaches are very different because the psychic is approaching life in the divine and therefore life in a very different way. One is the way of service. For second one, it's a different way altogether. Yet if it is rooted in the psychic, this difference doesn't matter. So what I'm trying to say is that it's not about following the same path or belonging to the same religion. That's not important. If there is truly a relationship rooted in the psychic, it will always see beauty and goodness in the other person and thereby create harmony. It will always seek the truth inside a relationship. So it will not, a psychic is not carried away by outer anger and criticism and all, because it sees that deep inside there is love. It is not misled by all this. That's why finding the psychic being is the most practical thing to lead a beautiful life, leave aside the divine life. It is the first thing that human beings must be taught and must find, because without the psychic, life is a nightmare, if not a outright horror. Who would like to lead a life which is full of quarrels, unhappiness, jealousies and fears and anxieties? The psychic, because it trusts the divine, can completely change our orientation towards life. It spontaneously brings an ease and peace in all that we do, in our thoughts, our feelings, our actions. And the highest, of course, is the spiritual relationship. That is very, very rare, one in thousands perhaps, and best not to look for that. If it has to happen, it happens. Spiritual relationship is where the two beings are totally complementary to each other. They may not be in affinity. They may not have the same thought, same this thing. But they complement each other's energies. They nourish spiritually each other, as it were, to help grow towards spiritual progress. They help each other. And they don't hinder, they don't harm. They help each other progress towards the same goal, the divine goal. Now, spiritual by its very nature means going beyond the frame of time and space. So spiritual relationship can be need not even be limited to a particular time-space domain, because such is the nature of the spirit. We see how Mother and Sri Aurobindo, which is one example of spiritual relationship, or if you see Radha and Krishna, was not dependent on anything to do with time and space or even physical togetherness. It is there. It transcends all this because it's spiritual by its very nature. There it is important that they are engaged in the same goal. Unlike the psychic, which one may be on this path or another path, but spiritual complementariness is invariably when there is the same goal, but not the goal as we understand mentally, intellectually. They are two one soul which has taken, we can simply say, two beings, literally one soul in two bodies. And their energies nurture each other, nourish each other. It is something decided from the very beginning of time. It doesn't mean that they have to be together as, what we traditionally call as husband and wife. All this is irrelevant. It can even be as a mother and child. But they may nurture each other. Because that's how it is. You know, if you see the past lives of some of these great ones, even Mother and Sri Aurobindo's life, it is not that they were always together in this way. It can be very different ways. But invariably, they come together because of the complementary nature. And whenever they are together for whatever period of time, it is to nourish and nurture each other's energies. And it gives a great help in the spiritual progress of the other person. It's like a tremendous power, like a shakti. So this is how one has to look at these different forms of relationship. The most important take-home point is relationships are not heaven-made. Even if they are, well, on earth, you have to work it out. Even the original script is written there, you have to again translate it in earthly terms. There is nothing like a Mr. Perfect, Miss Perfect, made for each other. Even if you are, you have to work it out, and both have to work it out. So there is the evolutionary truth. Second, sacrifice. It cannot be from one side. Third, very important, it must keep evolving. A static relationship may continue, but the joy will go away, like tamas. Or there will be a very heady wine of vital joy. Together, happy, then unhappy, separated, happy, again unhappy, coming together. It's a very vital joy. Or they may be in the mind more sattvic oriented, which is fine, which is perhaps the highest that human beings can achieve within the frame of nature. But it's important to understand that everything on earth has to either evolve upward, progress upward, or it will start degenerating. This is the error that many people make. They think it is perfect. They think whatever my relationship was on day one or day month one or year one, that's how it must be forever. It won't. And it's important to understand that if one person is evolving, the other must keep pace. That is the purpose, I think, of marriage, where fire is in the center and people go around seven times. Basically that I'm together in this journey of life at the same pace, holding the hand together with fire at the center, not the ego. Ego-based relationship within nature are bound to give us only limited happiness, or they are going to collapse. But soul-based relationship can last as long as the body lasts. But spiritual relationship will go beyond the single lifetime, because they are based on something which is eternal and true. Now it's up to us, choice is ours, what kind of relationship we want. But there is no abiding joy without the urge for progress, and nothing which is ready-made, nothing like a free lunch in life. Thank you.